grass, and trees. I'll summarize here and repeat the arguments previously made throughout the book. Measures of uncertainty that are based on the bell curve simply disregard the possibility and the impact of sharp jumps or discontinuities and are therefore inapplicable in extremistan. Using them is like focusing on the grass and missing out on the gigantic trees. Although unpredictable large deviations are rare, they can't be dismissed as outliers because cumulatively, their impact is so dramatic. The traditional Gaussian way of looking at the world begins by focusing on the ordinary, and then deals with exceptions or so-called outliers as ancillaries. But there's a second way, which takes the exceptional as a starting point and treats the ordinary as subordinate. I've emphasized that there are two varieties of randomness, qualitatively different, like air and water. One doesn't care about extremes. The other is severely impacted by them. One doesn't generate black swans. The other does. We can't use the same techniques to discuss a gas as we would use with a liquid. And if we could, we couldn't call the approach an approximation. A gas doesn't approximate a liquid. We can make good use of the Gaussian approach in variables for which there is a rational reason for the largest not to be too far away from the average. If there's gravity pulling numbers down, or if there are physical limitations preventing very large observations, we end up in mediocristan. If there are strong forces of equilibrium bringing things back rather rapidly after conditions diverge from equilibrium, then again, you can use the Gaussian approach. Otherwise, forget about it. This is why much of our economics is based on the notion of equilibrium. Among other benefits, it allows you to treat economic phenomena as Gaussian. Note that I'm not telling you that the mediocristan type of randomness doesn't allow for some extremes, but it tells you that they are so rare that they don't play a significant role in the total. The effect of such extremes is pitifully small and decreases as your population gets larger. To be a little bit more technical here, if you have an assortment of giants and dwarfs, that is, observations several orders of magnitude apart, you could still be in mediocristan. How? Assume you have a sample of 1,000 people with a large spectrum running from the dwarf to the giant. You're likely to see many giants in your sample, not a rare occasional one. Your average won't be impacted by the occasional additional giant because some of these giants are expected to be part of your sample, and your average is likely to be high. In other words, the largest observation can't be too far away from the average. The average will always contain both kinds, giants and dwarves, so that neither should be too rare, unless you get a mega-giant or a micro-dwarf on very rare occasion. This would be mediocristan with a large unit of deviation. Note once again the following principle. The rarer the event, the higher the error in our estimation of its probability, even when using the Gaussian. Let me show you how the Gaussian bell curve sucks randomness out of life, which is why it's popular. We like it because it allows certainties. How? Through averaging, as I'll discuss next.